allow me about 20 preaching moments, minutes. I'll bring you a word and then take my seat. I want to talk to you today from Romans 8, verses 27 through 29. If you have your Bibles, you may read from your Bibles, but if not, read from the screen, because I've been ready to preach ever since I came to church. So y'all got to come on, because I'm ready to go, amen. So y'all gonna have to talk back to me today too, amen. Let's read verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And I just want to talk to you for just a moment from this thought, that he's working it out for our good. He's working it out for our good. Let me remind you that everything that's for our good does not necessarily feel good. Let me tell you that again. Everything that's for your good does not necessarily feel good. On last night, I'm one of these old school people, and so I always get out what I'm going to wear to church on Sunday. I get it out on Saturday because I don't want to get up on Sunday looking for anything. So I got everything out, and I went to put some stuff in the trash. And as I went to put it in the trash, I got a paper cut. And I don't know if you've ever had a paper cut, but a paper cut hurts, y'all. Let me say that again. A paper cut hurts. So I got the paper cut. Linda's getting a Band-Aid. And basically while she's doing it, every time I pass by hand sanitizer, I just have this thing about hand sanitizer. I just got to get a handful and just put it all over my hands. And I'm telling you, I put it on that cut. Oh, la la shabba. And I'm going to tell you, Eugene, I said some words real quickly that I probably wouldn't say in here at church. That burned so badly. But let me tell you, thank God he's a forgiving God, because I'm standing today. Amen. Listen, just the mere subject that he's working it out for our good is really enough to cause me to shout. And I guess you say, well, it doesn't take much for you to shout. It does not take a lot for me to shout, because when I think about the goodness of God and all that he has done for me, I can get a praise on in a moment. Now, I know, in keeping it real, that somebody came in here this morning feeling like everything is against you. But as Christians, the truth of the matter is, you really ought to know better, that everything is not against you, but it's all working for your good. Have you ever wondered why things are working out in your life the way they're working out? Do you ever look back and think to yourself that you've been through a lot, and you ask yourself, with all that I've been through, why am I still standing? Let me tell you, here's the problem with most churches. The problem with most church folks is that most church folks like to come to church on Sunday and act like they've always had it together. But if the truth be told, we have not always had it together. We are by the grace of God. And had it not been for the grace and mercy of God, we wouldn't be where we are today. Have you ever considered that maybe, just maybe, that things have worked out the way they have worked out because God has a higher purpose for your life? Let me say that again. Have you ever figured out that maybe things are the way they are because God has a higher purpose for your life? We don't have any problems dealing with the little stuff, the things we think that we can handle, or things that we think we can work out on our own. But what about the things we consider to be a major issue, a major thing, or a major, major task that we have no real control over? Can I set the record straight? The record is that I want to tell you this morning that the reality is that we don't really have control over anything until God allows it to happen. Nobody ever said that the going was going to be easy, and the Christian life is no exception. Christians are already faced with things and situations that require us to take a closer look at what's happening and to begin to discern God's greater good in the midst of our situation. Can I just share with you for a moment that, listen, hear me when I tell you this. The things that I have been through in my life are the things that have made me a better praiser and a better worshiper. Can I just tell you that the things that have happened in my life has made me a stronger worshiper? And these things have developed my testimony, because I can now stand and tell you that I don't care what's going on in your life, I know that the Lord will make a way somehow. I used to say that because Mama and Big Mama said it. But now I tell you that I know for a fact that the Lord will make a way somehow. Is there anybody ever had a storm in your life and God made a way somehow? Is there anybody that didn't know how you were gonna make it out, didn't know how you were gonna make it through, didn't know how you were gonna make it over, but the Lord made a way somehow? And let me share something with you. It's no coincidence that you go through what you go through. It's not by coincidence. Listen, God has a plan for you. And when you go through what you go through, listen, keep your head up, because you know in the end that God is going to work this thing out, because he's working for our good. It's no coincidence that some people deal with you the way they deal with you. It's no coincidence that things work out a certain way, and sometimes in a manner that you don't want them to work out. Everything has not worked out the way I wanted it to work out in my life. Can I say that again? Everything has not worked out the way I wanted it to work out in my life. I think I shared this with you in another sermon that years ago when I applied for my first principal's job, the superintendent said to me, I want you to meet me at the school district office, and I want you to meet me on a Sunday evening. And I wondered, why would he want me to meet him on a Sunday evening? Nobody else is at work on Sunday evening. So I left the school, left the church, and went to the school to meet him, Ralph. And when I went to meet him, he said to me, he says, Joshua, he said, have a seat. So I sat down and he said, Joshua, the school that you're applying for, I'm just going to tell you just like he told me. He said, it's a lily white school. And he said, they're just not ready for you yet. He said, not yet. One day they may be, but not yet. I left out of there, my head was dropped, my attitude was just like, okay, God, this is just not for me. So I said, well, when this school year is over, I'm just going to change school districts where they recognize the excellence of black men. Well, let me tell you, things don't always work out like you think they're going to work out. This was then, but I kept a positive attitude. I kept on working. I kept on doing. It wasn't but a few months later, he called me over on a Tuesday and he said, Joshua, he said, you know when you applied for that school and I told you it wasn't the school for you? He said, well, I got just the school for you. The principal, I'm moving him out of that school and I want you to take over this school and revamp this school and bring this school back to life. I went to my car and I shouted all the way home because I learned that if you just wait on the Lord, let me talk to somebody. Let me tell somebody, if you can just wait on the Lord, Mama said he may not come when you, but he's all, somebody help me out. Mama said he may not come right when you want him, but he's always on time. You know what I learned? I learned that somewhere along the line, I believe that God was watching to see what my attitude was going to be in the meantime. See, in the meantime, I could have had a bad attitude, but in the meantime, I just kept on praising God and thanking God and telling God, I know that you have a plan for me, and God worked it out in my life. Is there anybody in the house can testify that when you've been down, God has picked? Let me be honest. Let's just keep it real. Look at me. Let me be honest with you. Nobody likes going through the fire. Okay, nobody likes going through the fire. But it's the fire that purifies you and enables you to come forth as pure gold. So somebody ought to say, I'm coming out as pure gold because I'm in the fire right now. Somebody talk with me this morning. When we understand that God loves us and has our best interest in mind, you can hold on to what he told us in Jeremiah 29 and 11, where he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you the expected end. I know the thoughts that I have for you. I know it may not look good right now, but boy, you got to trust me because I know the thoughts that I have for you. He can give us that expected end because he already knows what that end is. He comforts us in his word when he said in Isaiah, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient time, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. What a word of assurance to know that God is working in your life and that God is working it out for our good. Let me tell you why some of us don't trust God. Some of us don't trust God. Some of you can't trust God till tomorrow. You don't think it's going to work out. You already made up your mind that it's going to be dismal tomorrow. Well, let me tell you, you need to learn how to trust God. God is saying that I make known the end before the beginning. Before you ever got in the mess you in, God already knew how it was going to turn out. You just got to trust God. And the reason some people can't trust the next chapter of your life is because you forget who the author of your life is. When you know the author of your life, then you can trust the next chapter of your life. When you know the author of your life, you can start trusting the next chapter of your life. When you're going through, you can already start shouting. And the reason you can start shouting is because you know who the author is. He is the author, and not only the author, but also the finisher of your faith. So you got to learn how to put all of your trust in God. Let me give you a little text background here, textual background. Our text today is found in the book of Romans. It's written by the hand of the Apostle Paul, and it provides for us the foundation of salvation. And you know, I always say that if somebody took my Bible and took all of the chapters out of my Bible and only left Romans in, I'm a believer that you could find your way to heaven through the book of Romans. Because Roman is the road to salvation. So our book is Romans, written by the apostles, and it provides us the foundation for salvation, and it lets us know that God is the provider of this salvation through his Son, Jesus the Christ. And in the book of Romans, Paul establishes for us our place. And he tells us how we can obtain salvation. For example, let me just use some Roman. In Romans 3:10, we find this, and it is written, there is none righteous, no, I wish I had some Bible scholars. There is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gifts, that's something you didn't pay for. But the gift of God is eternal life through, don't you miss this, the gift of God is eternal life. But you got to go through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that the Lord Jesus, somebody help me out, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, it says thou, not maybe, not there's a possibility, but thou shalt be saved. Here in chapter 8, Paul begins by telling us there's no condemnation. Somebody ought to be shouting right then. There's no condemnation to those in Christ who are walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And he continues by sharing that for us to really receive and know what God is able to do in our lives, we have to be spiritually minded and not carnally, not worldly minded. And Paul goes on to say that it is the Spirit that helps our infirmities, our weaknesses, our flaws, because he makes intercession for us. That brings me to my text. But before I get to my text, let me go back to the fact that you have to be spiritually minded. Now, let me help somebody out. To be spiritually minded does not mean that you walk around in a dark suit, carrying a Bible, looking half dead. Somebody come on with me today. You can still have life. You can still have fun. You can still enjoy life. You don't have to live in a box because people want to put you in a box. People try to put pastors in a box. Don't box me in, because I'm coming out of that box. I don't fit the mold. I don't fit the box. You got to be spiritually minded. In other words, you got to keep your mind stayed on. I wish I had a church. You got to keep your mind stayed on Jesus. You got to know that you mess up, that you make mistakes. And when you do, you've got to be able to get on your knees and ask God to forgive you of all of your sins. That's my first 5 minutes. Let me get to my next 15. One, my first point deals with the promises of God. When you know God, let me say that again. When you know God, say that after me. When you know God, you can also know that he has power over your situation and power over your circumstances. There are a lot of unknowns in our society, but for certain, we can know that God has power to work things out on our behalf. Do I have anybody who knows what it is like to lose your job, but somehow all your bills are paid? I got one or two people. Let me try this. Do I have anybody who knows what it's like to come up on hard times, but still are able to survive and even thrive? I got four or five people. Let me try this. Do I have anybody who knows that it is what it is like to get pushed back only to find yourself ahead of the pack? See, I got pushed back on that job. Remember what I just told you? I got pushed back that Sunday evening. But let me tell you what, I got pushed back that Sunday evening, but don't take this as being braggadocious, but I ended up being an administrator at McKinney High School, at Slaughter Intermediate School. I opened Glen Oaks Elementary School, I opened Malvern Elementary School, and I opened Eddins Elementary School. I got pushed back, but I got moved to the head of the pack, because when God has his hand on you, somebody talk with me. When God's got his hands on you, can't nobody stop you. Let me get four or five preachers to come stand up here. Come stand up here in a line, just like you're in school, lined up. Just like that. And y'all just about lined up correctly the way I would line my students up. I always put the shortest first, so you just about right. But let me see if I can help you with something. See, Zeke is at the back of this line. And so at the back of this line, Zeke is probably thinking, whatever he passing out, I hope he has some left by the time I get up to the front of the line. But here's what I found out. I found out, Zeke, that sometimes when you in line waiting and you really trust in God, I found out that God will not move you, but God will move. So y'all just keep your eyes on me. And as I turn, y'all turn. And as I turn, y'all turn. Now you see, Zeke was last, but you see, all of a sudden, somebody talk back to me. Zeke was last, but all of a sudden, Zeke has gotten first because God moved. He didn't move Mansell, he just moved himself. So God will put himself where it is that you need for him to be. That's why when Elijah was in trouble and had to go to a brook called Cherith, and Elijah had to move, you remember he sent the raven to where he needed to be. Well, I'm your raven today, and I came to drop a little food on you, a little blessing on you. So don't count yourself out because you at the end of the line. There's somebody in here, you at the end of the line on your job. Just because you were the last one hired does not mean you're going to be the first one fired. It's some folks that were there when you came, and you'll be there when they leave. Yes, somebody ought to bless God in the house today. So let me get to my points. Here's my first point. My first point deals with the promises of God. Let me talk about, just for a few minutes, the promises of God. When you know God, when you know God, and you really know God, you can know that God has power over your situation and power over your circumstance. When you know God, you have the promise of God in your life, and you know that God will take care of you. Is there anybody here know God will take care of you? Listen, baby, listen, let me share something with you. You can't let your current condition determine your permanent position. Let me say that again. You can't let your current condition determine your permanent position. Just because that's where I am right now doesn't mean I'm going to be there always. When you know God, you have the promise of God in your life as well. And a close examination of the text reveals to us that it's not just some of the things in our lives that work for good, but it's all of the things that work for good. We can only see the one thing that we're dealing with at a time. While God has knowledge of our entire being and is making sure that everything falls in line the way God wants them to fall in line. The words "all things" go well beyond the great events of the world. And God does control the events of the world, but he controls much more. He rules over all things, all the events, all the happenings that occur in the life and in the behavior of mankind. And he works all things out for the good on behalf of his children. Watch this, watch this. Let me snatch something out of this book. Joseph was one who could testify to this. Remember Joseph, and remember that his brother sold him into slavery, and he was working in a palace, but was put in a prison for something that he did not do, was forgotten about while he was in prison, was released and made his way back to the palace, and was eventually promoted to the number two position in all the land. One thing you can say about Joseph is that he had the right attitude, because when he began to reflect back on everything, he said in Genesis, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God As for you, you thought evil against me. But God, that word but reverses everything. That word turns everything around. You thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. You see, we don't always know how it's going to work out. Tell your neighbor, I don't know how it's going to work out. But when you know God, when we 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 know God, we know God, we can have the assurance that God is going to work it out. When you know God, God is going to work it out. And my question to you is, won't he do it? 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 Won't he work it out? Won't he do it? I got to go to my second point. My second point, first point being the promise of God. My second point is the prerequisite of God. In order to receive from God, you have to be in a relationship with God. It's a requirement that you get in a relationship with God. And you have to know him for yourself. And like any other relationship, you have to work at your relationship. Zeke, how long have you been married? 36 years. Vicky, 36 years you've been married to Ezekiel. 36 years. Y'all still got to work at your relationship. You can't take nothing for granted in your relationship. You still got to work at it. At any relationship, you got to work at it. If you work at it, you got to have some kind of communication. Well, that's exactly what's wrong with us and our relationship with God. It's because we don't want to have communication with God. We want to talk about, well, he came and sat on my bed at 3 o'clock this morning talking to me. God didn't come sit on your bed at no 3 o'clock talking to you, because he does not dwell in unclean places. So let me share something with you. No, sir. No, sir. God speaks to you through this holy word right here. If you want to hear from God, you get in the word of God. Am I talking to anybody in the house? Now, he did send us a comforter called the Holy Spirit that will lead, guide, and direct us. But God ain't left heaven to come sit on your bed. And we need to quit lying about God coming to sit on our bed. In knowing God, we have positioned ourselves to love him as he loves us and reap the rewards of our relationship with him. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, get this, he said, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. We look at ourselves and even our situations, and because of that, we take our eyes off of the promises of God. We get so consumed sometimes because of what's going on that we forget about the one who loves us and is working on our behalf. We find a promise of God in James 1:12. He says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. It tells me that I'm going to go through some things, but because of the love connection that is between me and my God, he is going to keep all of his promises. Tell somebody God is working it out for your good. Do I have anybody in here that really believe that God is working on your behalf right now? I know stuff doesn't look good, but you can still believe that it's working for your good. I know, I told them this morning, this is the 29th day of September, and I know you got paid Friday, and I know your whole paycheck is gone, and I know you don't get paid till the 15th of next month, but how many of you can trust God for 17 more days that God is going to take care of you? I need somebody that's real. I need some real witnesses in here. How can you, do I have anybody that can give him a 17-day in advance praise that when I get to the 15th, I'm still going to be in the same house. I'm still going to be praising you. I told him this morning that so many times we forget where we came from. We think about where we are, but we forget where we came from. See, I came from somewhere. I came from somewhere called the bottom in Fifth Ward. And in the bottom in Fifth Ward, we had a grocery store. And the man that owned the grocery store, my mama would send me to the grocery store. And she would tell me to go down and tell Mr. Johnny, say, Mr. Johnny, my mama said, could you give her two, this is just how I went, said, Mr. Johnny, my mama said, could you give her half a pound of salami and a half a pound of yellow cheese, and when she get paid tomorrow, she gonna come by here and pay you. He said, yes, your mama always pay her debts. Let me tell you, baby, I ain't always had what I had. I ain't always been where I am, and that's why I thank God that I am who I am today. I thank God for every mountain, for every valley. I thank God for everything that I've been through, because everything that I've been through has helped me. I never will forget. I came home from college, and there was a Gulf station around the corner from my house, Eugene. And my father went to Mr. George, and he told Mr. George, he said, if my son need gas, he said, let him get gas. And he said, I'll settle with you on Friday when I get paid. So my father went to settle with Mr. George, and he came home, and he was in a rage. And he asked me, how in the world did you use up $5 worth of gas this week? Ain't been to nobody's job, ripping and running the streets. I'd burned $5 worth of gas. You got to remember, it was 16 cents a gallon. And $5 equals a whole lot of gas. You got to remember where you came from. Somebody help me out and remember who brought you where you are today. The promises of God, the prerequisite of God, and now just let me hit the purpose of God in my last, I probably got 5 minutes of my 20 left, the purposes of God, the purpose of God for our life, and hear me when I tell you this, the purpose of God for our life is that we not struggle with the things of life, but if we find ourselves in a struggle, we have to know that his deliverance is available. That this is part of his working it out for our good. God delivers the person who is positioned in Christ and who lives a pure and holy life. And the person who truly loves God and is loving a godly, living a godly life, is the person who loves God that will be delivered from the struggling and the suffering of this corrupt world. In other words, we have to position ourselves in Christ and live a life that is pleasing in the sight of God. It's in Psalms 34:19 that says, Many are the afflictions of the righteous. We're going to have some struggles. We're going to have some ups and downs. But the Lord delivered him out of them. The prophet Isaiah tells us, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." I got to get out of here. But God is working it out. We don't have to figure it out, but we must know that God has the power to work it out. We spend too much time trying to make it happen, not realizing that God has already has the power to really bring it to pass in our lives. And when we need salvation, God will work it out by sending his son Jesus to our rescue. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might have eternal life through him. I'm talking about sweet Jesus. Is there anybody that know about sweet Jesus? Well, maybe you don't know him as sweet Jesus. Let me give you a couple other names, and then I'm packing up and getting out of here. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star, the Lamb of God, bread to the hungry, water to the thirsty, mother to the motherless, father to the fatherless, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the rock in a weary land, shelter in the time of storm. I am that I am, author and perfecter of our faith, beloved Son of God. He is the chief cornerstone, the light of the world. Is there anybody here that know anything about King Jesus? Is he all right this morning? He's the one that died on the cross. He's the one that went down in the grave. He's the one that stayed three long days. He's the one that got up early on Sunday morning, not with some power, but with all power in his hand. He's working it out for our good. If you believe that, you ought to come to your feet and give God a praise. Give him a hallelujah praise for working it out for our good. Is he all right? Is he all right? Yes, he is. He's all right. He's all right. Yes, he is. 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 He's all right. Yes, he is. He's working it out. 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 He's working it out for our good. The doors of the church stand open. The doors stand open. He's working it out. Somebody's on the job right now. A whole lot of people got a pink slip, but you're still there. He's working it out for our good. If there be one, will you come today?